This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Welcome to your window into the meaningful impact being made across the Catholic Diocese of Hamilton. I'm your host, Marion Green, and I invite you to join me as I talk with inspiring guests and explore how the Catholic Development Fund creates ripple results. Today I'm joined by Robert Garan, who is a member of the pastoral team here in the Hamilton Diocese and is based at the Chanel Centre. As you know, Robert, the purpose of this podcast is to give our listeners an insight into the areas that funding from the CDF spreads the ripples around the diocese and we can really see faith in action. We're hoping that this will be beneficial to our existing investors and account holders and, of course, to any prospective investors out there who may like to come on board with the CDF. We want to give our listeners a clear sense of what their investments enable and how the work within the diocese is so varied and that faith is truly in action in all sorts of ways. So, Robert, just before we get into discussing your role here at the diocese, perhaps to start with, we could talk a little bit about you. It sounds like you bring another culture to the diocesan staff, which is diverse in that area, to say the least. So can you tell us a little bit about your background and what brought you to New Zealand?
Well, first of all, Marion, thank you so much for inviting me to be here. And to all the listeners, I just want to say hi, hello. About myself, of course, I am Robert Garan. I am born and raised in Manila, the Philippines. I'm also a Catholic. I grew up as a Catholic, and I studied in Catholic schools. So you can probably say that as a cradled Catholic to that stuff. And, you know, my background when I started to study actually was more of philosophy and theology. I had that inclination that maybe I should consider myself to be a student of theology and philosophy and perhaps someday become a priest. So I thought I had a vocation, but things went otherwise. But now today I am married. I have two children. Back in the Philippines before I moved to New Zealand, I am a marketing executive, or was, should I say, and I work in a company called K-Line. It's a shipping line engaged in containerized transport, some form of logistics. And during those years, for the last 18 years before I moved to this country, I realized that it's something that is stable. It's a job that, you know, like gives you food on the table. But at the same time, I look into it like it's somewhat stagnant for me, professionally speaking. And I thought that maybe I should challenge myself, or maybe I should question that, is this the right thing for me to do? You know, as you advance in age, you suddenly realize that not everything is about career. You want to probably advance in purpose as well. And so I thought, like, maybe, how about upskilling myself? Let's just say I would study elsewhere, not in my home country. And I made some research and asked a few friends who happened to be here in Wellington and one in Auckland as well. And they encouraged me to do so, like, okay, follow your instinct, bro. Oh, that's cool, I said. And okay, I made some research and of course, I was a bit stumbled when I looked into the fees, considering we should study overseas. But who cares? You know, it's a challenge. At the same time, it's an adventure. I look at it as an adventure, so to speak. So, yeah, I came to New Zealand with the hope of upskilling myself. Then who knows, if I come back to my home country, I would be perhaps better off. That would be the expectations. And also because I could get another job elsewhere. And however, things might have changed because when I took a degree here on in business studies, I actually fell in love with the place. It's pure New Zealand. It's really about nature. It's about order. I'm really in love with the country. The people are really kind of friendly to me. And I said, like, wow, this is completely different from where I came from. So I said, like, okay, how? I think I want to stay longer. Perhaps that was my reaction initially.
Wow. So you've fallen in love with the country and the people.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant. Pretty much, yes. And I learned a few phrases, like the fush and chops.
Brilliant.
Or sweet ass kind of thing, which, these are not day-to-day languages for me, but yeah, I'm cool with it.
Right, so you're learning it on the daily. Yeah.
Put them into my notes, and I said, I'm going to impress my friends when I came back, go back home and say the same thing.
Classic. Okay. So you have found the experience of moving your family from your homeland to New Zealand a positive one overall.
Yes, it's a positive one, of course, because it's everything's just amazing in this country. As you know, I came in here first 1 year ahead of my family, but I want them to experience the same joy that I found in this country. So I told them, okay, it's a bit of a risk at the same time, but I want you all to experience what I have experienced and not to regret about it for the rest of our lives. So if it's not going to go our way, perhaps there's still a plan B anyway. So they said, like, we're keen to follow you, and they did. So okay, we'll have it sorted as soon as we can, and they did. So 1 year after, they're with me. We are really so happy that finally we are all together once again. That's the best experience that I ever had together as a family. But of course, it's not all about excitement. The other things that we would need to consider were the following. For example, we have the challenge of weather. You know, it's a very quite cold country, but it's not really very, but it's a cold country. And for people like us who grew up in a tropical country, you know, it's anything below 10 degrees is cold already. So it's for us, we're freezing, like, you know. The other thing, you know, is the language. Obviously, English is not our primary language, although we do speak English back home, but only in schools and a bit of business language. And I grew up with the American Webster Dictionary, which means the spelling here in New Zealand would be different from what I'm accustomed to, like colors with a U,
yes,
or program with a double M and E and N.
Yes.
So these are the little things that I need to adjust to. But finally, driving, because I grew up again in the right side of the road, and then suddenly I would come here and I'll just take the opposite side, and you know, I was like, oh, am I wrong or right? Which way again? So, and the roundabouts are kind of crazy for me. It's like, how many exits am I going to, where am I going to go out? How am I going to go out of it? And the funny thing or fun experience that I had before was there was a huge fire truck at my end, you know, and I was like honking on me. And I was like, oh, but I need to turn left. But this is an emergency fire truck, so I've got to give way. So I actually move within the roundabout like two times until I find the right exit for me. So that's how it was scary. That was the challenge. But more than that, really, every one of us in the family are really happy. We were settled because, like what I said, they too fell in love with the country, the people. And they're able to adjust well because I think they earned some good friends around here. We're also surrounded with the supportive people and people like us, like the Filipinos themselves, who are very welcoming to immigrants like ourselves.
Brilliant. So you know, I did a little bit of research and I've read that Christianity is super strong in the Philippines. In fact, the stats are that approximately 78.8% of the Philippine population is Catholic, according to the 2020 census. That amounts to 85 million people out of the country's household population of nearly 109 million at that time. Of all Filipino living in New Zealand, 60% are Catholic.
Wow.
So you're in a lot of good company here in New Zealand, Robert.
Oh, thank you, Marion.
Undoubtedly, your faith has been of great support to you in your journey and moving your family and settling here in New Zealand. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Well, you know, Marion, when you move to another country, you take that risk with you, isn't it? First of all, you must have faith in yourself. Can you make it? Can I make it? There's a lot of challenges. I haven't been here, and I can only rely on what I see on the internet or what I can see in Wikipedia or whatever. But deep inside, it's about there's an element of fear at the same time. But like you said, when you have nothing else to think about, you can only rely on your faith. It's like a well. It's like a deep well in yourself where, okay, this is where I'm going to draw my strength, faith. And because I grew up as a Catholic, the first thing is always to go in prayer and make a discernment and ask God to bless this prayer of mine. Because sometimes it's not about the certainty of truth, but it's the certainty of faith. You know, I cannot be sure if I'll succeed to come over to New Zealand, but deep inside me, I know that God blesses my intentions. And so I cling to that, faith in me. And when I first arrived here, the first thing that I did was actually to visit the church and pray and pray to St. Joseph in particular and say, St. Joseph, you're a father like myself. You know that, right? So you're an immigrant yourself. You know that too. So I think you can have cast a little bit of mercy and understanding to what I am experiencing right now. Because please support me. Make sure that you bring these intentions of mine to Jesus, your son, and allow me to thrive in whatever dreams that I have here. So, yeah, and true enough, actually, God answers perhaps honest prayers, sincere prayers. And so I'm so fortunate to get a job a bit more quickly. And yeah, I can live with that. And eventually, I had this pathway to join the Catholic Diocese of Hamilton. And now I'm with you.
And we're very happy to have you too.
Oh, thanks.
So have you and your family connected with other Filipino families in the Hamilton Diocese?
Oh, yeah, that's very much true. It feels like home still in New Zealand. So I'm home, but far away from home because we meet in common places. Number one, the church. Number two, the shopping mall. And number three, of course, some big events that are initiated by the Filipino community. So when my children had their studies in Catholic schools and our children themselves had their own network of fellow Filipinos, and when they met, they talk about their parents, of course, and then that's the time when we had some occasions of, hey, Amanda, for instance, is my daughter, and Lance is my son, and I happen now to be introduced to the to their friends, to their parents, to the parents, and that's how probably it began. And I would really love to congratulate and really thankful for these Filipinos who already move ahead of us here. Some of them have moved for already about 10-20 years, and they themselves too are generous, and they invite us into their homes, have dinner with them, have coffee, and catch up with some stories. And that's how it began. And we would like to preserve that kind of culture. Sometimes it's embarrassing to reach out to a fellow Filipino because, oh, what if, a lot of what ifs. But as we look into each other, sometimes we stare with each other and then we suddenly smile at each other. And then we point with the mouth upwards, like with the head pointing upwards. It's like, oh, you're Filipino? Yeah, yeah, hi, how are you? So it's kind of easy to connect.
Yes.
It's just using like some sort of senses, a Filipino sensing another Filipino kind of different or unique way.
Like a radar, you're attracting
kind of like
each
that.
Other.
Yeah.
Yes. And, there's many immigrants in New Zealand.
Yes.
It is a real melting pot, but if you've got another Filipino family, as you say, who have gone before you,
yep,
and had some experiences that perhaps you're yet to have,
yep,
they're a good guidance, and they really get where you've come from, what you really valued back in your home country, and, you know, what things you might need to know going forward and being of support to you.
Correct. In fact, we went beyond just for dining. We went beyond with just simple parties. We also kind of talk to each other and say, what forms of service can we do for the community? I think, when you move to another country, we should, of course, adapt. And the main thing now is that, okay, leave behind our old habits back home, especially the bad habits. Number one that I probably, and I hope the Filipinos would forgive me, is, of course, being on time with the things. Because there seems to be like a not-so-good habit is coming in late. But, of course, the culture here is kind of different. Like when you say the mass is at 6, you got to be there before 6. You got to be seated before 6. Or otherwise, you will also lose your parking slot anyway. So you got to be there on time.
Right.
So yeah, that's probably how we need to adjust, and we do it together as a community, and we share thoughts and insights, especially in matters of immigration, and of course, if you want to connect with someone else, then yeah, we try to help each other.
And you'd be in a position to help families coming now, because you've had those experiences yourself.
Yes, 100%, you could say that. I'm very much happy to assist anybody. I think I had a friend who had a bit of trouble doing his, and on behalf of his family, those applications for immigration. And I know that stuff. I said, come to me, don't worry. Let's just sit down and let's answer these questions. And yeah, I'm so happy because I was able to help this guy, and now they are residents as well.
Oh, brilliant.
Of this country.
Yes, paperwork. It's a bit of a tricky one, isn't it? Especially with the language and what do they want from me? And you want to get it right because you want them to say yes.
Absolutely.
But tricky there. Yeah. So if there is someone listening and who is resonating with your story and wanting to reach out to the local Filipino community, or indeed yourself, the Filipino Catholic community, are you happy for them to contact you?
Oh, 100%. My number is published in public. It's found on the website. My face there as well. So yeah, they can come and contact me. They can keep in touch. They can ask me questions. Of course, it's not always that I give all the answers to them, but I can connect them as well with someone else. And I'm really happy to be of assistance to my fellow immigrants, not only the Filipinos, but even others who have experienced the same experience that I had. So yeah, I'm just available 24/7, and just people with good intentions. I really appreciate them if they are sincere. They want to thrive as well, and it's always about giving them hope. It's, I think, the main thing is always to give people hope, not to discourage them. Because, like I said to you, my spiritual life is guided with this one. Saint Joseph will always look after the people who have sincere prayers. So, yeah, I'm really happy. Can I speak my language?
Sure.
Yeah. Sa mga kababayan ko, magandang araw sa inyo. Kung anong oras kayo nakikinig, magandang gabi na rin. Salamat sa inyong pagtatangkilik sa Catholic Diocese of Hamilton. Ito na rin na isang panawagan kung nais niyo pong maging makibahagi o lumapit at palaguhin pa at suportahan din ang Catholic Diocese of Hamilton. Narito lang ako. Sa inyong pagiging lingkod, sa anumang sitwasyon, ako'y handang mag-servisyo alang-alang sa inyo. So yeah, I'm just available 24/7.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for that, Robert. If you've just joined us, you're listening to The Ripple Results, your insight into how the Hamilton Catholic Development Fund turns investments into action. So now let's talk about your role at the diocese, a role that is, of course, made possible by funding from the Catholic Development Fund. And I understand that you're the Marriage Preparation Administrator within the pastoral team, and so you're responsible for preparing couples for the sacrament of marriage. Can you tell us a bit about that role?
Oh, thanks, Marian. Thanks for asking that question. You know that marriage and family life is something that of huge value for the Catholic Church. And it is our business to look after couples and their children. Now, with regards to the role, it is a job that require us pastoral leaders to remind again couples of their responsibility, their duty, and what is it involved to be in marriage. So the marriage preparation program is our form of program, and we use this workbook or program called the Prepare Enrich. Prepare because it prepares the couples before marriage, and enrich because it enriches them after the marriage. It's something that allows, it's the opportunity for the couples to bring into the table their own strengths and growth areas. When couples prepare themselves to marriage, they must open up to each other. What do they bring in into the relationship? Do they bring in just the financial side of things? Or do they bring in also just the reputation? Or because they are meant for each other? Oh, these are big questions. But at the same time, people need to work out on the relationships. And that is what the program is trying to achieve. People or couples need to discuss about certain aspects of the relationship, like communication, conflict resolution, financial management, spiritual beliefs, parenting, intimacy, and even discussing about family of origins. So people don't, or rather, a couple may not necessarily know each other. They might probably have met 5-6 years ago, or they might have met somewhere in high school, but they got reunited like for the last 5 years. And they have decided to be like, they suddenly became romantically involved or engaged. But relationships or marriage is more than feelings. There's a duty that goes around it. So it's our job now, pastorally speaking, to move these people and, come to that understanding that before you step into that, always remember that that God is going to solemnize your marriage, but at the same time, you've got to work it out. Because as you can see, Marian, it's not magic. Like when you step into matrimony, we're now good. Everything's just going to be happy. We're going to live happily ever after and without trouble, because that's not true. And I mean, for me, I would prefer that people become more realistic with each other, manage their expectations to one another, and work it out the differences. And that's what the program again is trying to do, is that we facilitate. So what I do in the program is I also train other couples who would like to become a marriage facilitator. So they themselves can prepare other couples, engage couples prior to marriage. So I'm in charge of that one. And of course, by default, I am also in charge of the engaged couples preparing themselves to the sacrament of matrimony. And yeah, we just open the opportunity for them to speak to one another and what sort of resolutions, what sort of lines of action does each individual would like to, embark on, or is resolved to commit for his or her partner, so that they will have a, even though it's not a perfect marriage, but it is a marriage that really works for both of them.
Great. So, yeah, nothing's perfect, is it?
Yeah, that's
been
correct,
married for
yeah.
many years myself, and so I know that firsthand. So these meetings with you, are they one couple and you, or a number of couples?
Yes, that's correct. It's just one couple per facilitator. This is something that works for us at the moment, because the couples themselves are able to open up really. I have experienced this for a number of times now, that some of them are actually in tears when they realized or they heard something from their partner that, oh, you haven't told me about this for a very long time. So it was that opportunity for them to open up. And when it was the first time for each other to hear their own stories, you know, they were in tears. And I was like, I was also speechless because I just opened up the question, you know, like, you know, some sort of challenge at the same time. And what are their views about relationships and so on and so forth? Again, that's something that's, let's just say, let the Holy Spirit action on them. And it's that was the result.
So you've obviously created a safe space, though, where they
correct.
Feel they can be truly themselves and speak openly.
Absolutely.
And you're
that's
saying
what
it, it brings out the
Absolutely.
best in people. Yes.
Correct.
So is a marriage preparation course compulsory for couples who want to be married in the church, in the Catholic Church?
Well, I wish we could find another word instead of compulsory, but they are encouraged, highly encouraged to do that. But for me, from the point of view of a pastoral worker, to me, it's compulsory.
Okay.
To lead, compulsory for us to lead engaged couples prior to marriage. But for the couples, of course, they are highly encouraged to do the course so that they can see for themselves what do they bring in into the relationship prior to the sacrament of matrimony.
Okay. So if you've got a couple out there listening today and they're talking about getting married or maybe they've just become engaged, they want to reach out to you because they're wanting to have a Catholic ceremony. How do they do that, Robert?
Yes, they can visit our website. It's cdh.org.nz and click that tab on sacraments or vocations, and they will see there about marriage. And yeah, they can just follow the old instructions subsequently. And I am the only one who's going to receive the email.
So you're the man. You're the man for this job.
That's
bringing
correct,
couples
Maria.
Together.
Yeah.
Just before you go, if anyone's listening, again, www.cdh.org.nz. Click on pastoral.
Yes.
Vocations.
Yes, vocations. And
sacraments.
Marriage.
And yeah. They'll get directed to you.
That's correct.
Fabulous. So thank you so much again, Robert.
Oh, you're welcome,
Maria.
And
thank you for all that you do, and we wish you well.
Thank you so much as well.
Go well. Thank you for joining us today on Ripple Results. Catch us next time when I will be talking with another inspirational guest about their role and aspirations made possible by the Catholic Development Fund. You can find us wherever you listen to your favourite podcasts, and if you wish to contact us, you can go to www.cdfhamilton.org.nz or give us a call on 0785 66989.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.